Good morning to you. Let me extend my welcome to that of Graham's. It's great to have you here for our Anzac commemoration service this morning. My name is Reverend Luke Thompson, the senior minister here. Reverend Jim Thompson was my grandfather and was a former senior minister here. But it's great to share with you today. There are some things in life and in human history that we should not forget. And yet often these are the very events that we wish we could forget, or that we could undo or change our past. The horrors of war, the loss of human life, the families who have grieved, the pain and the grief and the brutality of war are almost immeasurable. And often the experience of those who have fought is so traumatic they are unable to give words to their stories. And my grandfather, Jim Thompson, served with the Royal Marines in the Korean War. And such was the effect of that event on his life that he could never bring himself to speak of it in the remaining 56 years of his life. War is an unspeakable tragedy. Its darkness is sadly a consistent reality across human history. And yet war is sometimes a painful necessity. At times it is the only means for the defense of justice and freedom, and for the hope of future peace. There is, of course, a bitter truth to Anzac Day. Although a great peace was bought for us, and that at great cost, our world remains full of turmoil and destruction, war and death. It was a terrible sacrifice of so many lives on both sides of the conflict. And gratefully, we enjoy many freedoms today because of it. And yet we have not escaped war. It was not the war to end all wars. Battles are often fought in order that peace may be restored. And yet the hope for peace in our world can seem that it is only drifting further from our grasp. We long for peace, and yet the human heart seems to render us incapable of ever reaching it. The Bible is no stranger to the reality of war, but perhaps better than any other piece of literature in human history, it understands the desires and struggles for peace and justice. And it equally understands the corrupt nature of our human hearts, the greed, selfishness, and depravity that spill out into aggression and hostility and warfare. Our world can seem an unsettling and fearful place at times. Only a month ago, we were horrified by the shootings in Christchurch, New Zealand, right on our doorstep. And whilst many offer their solutions to prevent such horrific events in the future, history would indicate that humanity is utterly unable to establish the permanent peace that we so desperately desire. It is in the midst of this human hopelessness that the Bible offers us guidance and a true and certain hope. We read in Psalm 46 this morning, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And though the nations rage and the kingdoms totter, God is far above all of this. His power is such that in the face of the worst that humanity has to offer, we read, he utters his voice and the earth melts. The Bible repeatedly reminds us that God is a God of justice, that he will hold people to account for the harm they have caused, for the fear that they instill, for the oppression they enforce. This authority to bring about justice is wonderfully put in Psalm 46, verse 9. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns chariots with fire. Where humanity is unable to bring about a lasting peace, God has the power, the authority, and the will to make every war cease. The greatest human armies are no match for the mere words of God. They would melt like a chocolate soldier. But when and where and how does God do this? If God does indeed have the power to make war cease, why do they continue to stain our history with destruction and grief and death? Surely if God were loving, he would put an immediate stop to this violence. Of course, the Bible tells us that God did something far greater than that, something far more powerful. God did not just watch our conflicts as a human race from a distance. He entered into them. In the person of Jesus, God put himself into human history. In the person of Jesus, God enters into our human conflicts. He saw the worst, and he bore the worst that humanity has to offer. Jesus, God in human flesh, he experienced firsthand the humiliation of betrayal, the injustice of ruling authorities, the loneliness of abandonment, the torment of crucifixion, and the ultimate human tragedy of death. God knows deeply and personally the pain and suffering of humanity. God entered into human history in order to show not only his authority and power to end war, but to bring about a sure and certain and eternal peace through a demonstration of his love. In the Romans passage Dennis read for us, we read these words, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." See, laying down your life for those whom you love is honorable. It is loving. It is costly. And we would do well to remember those who have gone before us, who have served us with a costly sacrifice for their country. But laying down your life for your enemies, that is an unthinkable sacrifice. And yet, while we were enemies of God, separated from him, Jesus laid down his life as a sacrifice for us. It was the supreme act of love. Jesus gave up his rights, his freedom, his power, in order that we could have what is not rightfully ours. He laid down his life for those who did not deserve it. He was oppressed and afflicted, scorned and beaten. He carried the weight not merely of a country's freedom, but of the sin of all humanity. An unthinkable sacrifice to take our place and bear our sin. He endured separation not only from family and friends, but from his own Father in heaven. It is a supreme act of love. For Christ did what we could not do. He sacrificed himself for sins he did not commit. In the Gospel of John, we read, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus not only laid down his life for his friends, Jesus turned his enemies into his friends. Although God has the power and the authority to put an end to war, he does something even better. He enters into our sin and our suffering. He gives us a lasting peace, not only with one another, but with God himself. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, wars will continue to put a dark stain on human history. And we can and should continue to fight for justice and peace for the benefit of all humanity. And whilst we battle for hope of future peace in this world, Jesus brings us a peace that transcends this world. He brings us peace with God, a peace that cannot be taken away, a peace that cannot be disturbed, a peace with our Creator. Many have given their lives in service to their country as defenders of peace. And with them, we owe deep gratitude. Now, we cannot undo the past. We cannot bring back those who laid down their lives for us. And as much as we might like to put it behind us or even forget, the worst that humanity has to offer in the destruction and devastation and death of war, we cannot and we must not act as if these horrors never happened. Though we might like to wipe the slate clean and start fresh as a human race, as a community, we will carry the burdens and memories of war in the generations to come. And sadly, we will create new burdens and new memories of new wars in our world. But Jesus' own sacrifice does something remarkably different. He does offer a clean slate, a fresh start. Jesus' death allows us to start a new relationship with our Creator. By turning his enemies into his friends, Jesus closes the chapter on our struggles against God and his rule. And he invites us into his kingdom, not as captives, but as free people who are saved not only from death, but saved for a new and better life. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Jesus brings us a peace not only from war, but from all hurt and pain. A peace from toil and tyranny. A peace from anger and loneliness. a peace from guilt and shame, a peace from sin and separation with God. We will remember those who have gone valiantly before us, those who have given their lives for our freedom. They lay down their lives for their families, their friends, and the freedom of a country. It is part of our story as Australians, and we should not forget. 2,000 years ago, Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. He turned his enemies into his friends. And whilst war is often an unspeakable tragedy, Jesus' own sacrifice is one that we must speak of, because it is news of lasting hope and peace. It is news of incredible love, and we should remember it so. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of human life and for all those who in love gave their lives for the freedoms we enjoy. We thank you that you see the pain and suffering of humanity, that you are grieved by war, and that you promise a lasting peace. We thank you that you did not abandon us in our despair. We thank you that Jesus entered into our world, that he sacrificed himself, that he turned his enemies into his friends. We ask that you would make the reality of this peace present in our own lives, that you would help us to remember it and to speak of it as good news for all people. Amen.